Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Has joined.
Well, I'm glad to hear everybody's here.
I'm going to have to mute, though.
Okay. So we are redoing, or really not redoing, but continuing with verse 270 in section 20 of Parashat Vayera. We'll be starting momentarily as soon as my computer has its daily outrage.
Has joined.
The translation. From here, the arrows, the swords, the spears, and the fire of the tower go forth. And a strong fire comes out of the heavens, which is their unpin, clinging to it, namely to the nukva. Thus, when the upper fire, namely the judgments of Zerantin, clings to the lower fire, namely the 70 judgments of the Nukva, no one can cancel the wrath and judgment that belong to the judgments of the Nukva. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. Nothing can cancel the lower judgments, yet they can be sweetened by the blowing of the shofar and other actions like teshuvah. The commentary by Bracha. This verse is pointing our attention on the words of judgment that we use with ourselves, with others, and to our Creator. And this is what this verse is addressing from the blueprint of the Kabbalah when using the Sephirot model, when depicting our physical world of our body. Questions. The noun words, arrows, swords, spears, and fire, what do they have in common? Another question. The Zeranpin in our lower level in the world of Asiya is addressed in this verse. This is referring to the physical body of the torso, where this region is located, including the six main sephirot that comprise to make up Zeranpin. What is the main organ in the torso that is both constructive and destructive? Another question. The Torah sages have expounded upon the most destructive organ in man. What organ is this? Describe its location and the harm it can create, and tell the guarding fences it requires. The fourth question. In Mishle, which is Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, King Shlomo describes the six character traits that Hashem hates about his children, which is mankind. What are these six behavioral traits? Which is the most loathsome from Hashem's perspective? And why? And then I added what these verses from Proverbs, both in the Hebrew and the English, and I'm reading the English, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked thoughts, feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness that breathes out lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Questions, comments. Thoughts. Everybody is quiet.
Those are great questions.
They are. And we had talked about just doing one, you know, one yeah. question and because we have this short time period.
Right. So repeat the first question.
The first question, the noun words, arrows, swords, spears, and fire. What do they have in common? It's actually the phrase from the verse itself is the fire of the tower.
Well, I know we talked about fire as being passion, right?
Say again, you broke up?
Over the studies that we had with you, we defined that fire could be described as passion.
That's right.
Okay. And of course, fire is destructive, and it's also a purification, purifies the wrong.
Very
and,
true.
Right?
All true. All true.
So, the spears and the arrows, right?
Yes. And you could also add the swords. All three of them are piercing
right.
aspects. They can be words that pierce.
Mm-hmm.
They can be, obviously, implements. Mechanical devices that pierce.
Right. It could be destruction. It could be awakening. It could be many things. So that's a very broad question. It could go in any, it could go up, down, north, south, east, west, you know, as far as describing the destruction and or the awakening one's soul or vessel.
Which one of the four deaths is that upon? The piercing. I'm too tired to think.
the death of the sword thrust is the piercing. Or like in modern age, we consider that bullets. A drive-by shooting is the person who is the victim of a drive-by shooting has done some action that the Torah says is connected to the death of sword thrust, which is one of the four deaths. The four deaths are hanging in modern age is emphysema and COPD disease. Fire, of course. Stoning could be the effect of an earthquake when a building falls on you. And the
decapitation is one, too.
That's the fourth one. Decapitation is affected by the swords.
So are we talking about the question, the answer to the question would be some sort of death?
First, we have to understand there is no one answer. These are different. These are words that are nouns.
Right.
And the noun is a subject of a sentence.
Right.
But there can be many different common characteristics from these four. So there's no one answer that is correct. But the purpose of these questions is to cause us to think. The purpose of the questions is to bring ideas together so that our thoughts come into some form of unity.
Well, dealing with all these nouns, my mind goes to evil inclination, you know, causing harm. That's what my first thought in the nouns that was presented to us as a question.
A very valid.
Is the Sephiroth, Yesod? That was one of the questions.
It could be the Sephiroth as well.
Okay. Well, that no one can cancel the wrath is really strict.
Well, that's what the verse is saying.
Right.
And the verses that we came down to this one, it's talking about how there's the judgment of the generation of the flood is that they will not resurrect.
Well, I've missed since verse 265, so I've missed those.
I
thought to just listen, but anyway, I'll go back and reread them. But,
my thought.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
I think I present this question or this statement sometime back that once the punishment, and I'm trying to look for another word, but that's the word that comes to me right now, is announced for the nations, every single nation, that be the 70 nations. Once it's announced in the spiritual world that these sins have come upon these nations and our nation, whichever you want to say, they're never discarded. They're always there. And I'm thinking it's after Yom Kippur. Now you start anew, right? You can get cleansed of it, and then you commit these sins as a nation or as a community or whatever you want to say. They're always there. I mean, we come into sin. We're birthed, you know, we're born into sin. The only way to get justice and mercy is to work back up through the spiritual system. You know, now you can work downward as well and not be resurrected. I mean, your soul sparks will, but not your vessel. So I always had that thought that we're always working to get justice and mercy. Because once it's announced, it never goes away. And I say this because of when Jonah that went to Nineveh, that they were pronounced a judgment and they turned around their sinful ways and God had mercy on them. But then they went back to their sins and judgment came upon that judgment came upon them. You know, it's like they kept it at bay and for a number of years, centuries maybe, but that judgment came back because they didn't sustain their elevation in their soul elevation.
You said a lot of things, Malka, and I'd just like to respond because of people who might be listening to the recording.
Okay.
I know what you meant when you said that we're born into sin, but that's not a Jewish value or a Jewish thought pattern. That is coming out of the church. The concept of original sin. In the Jewish value is that we are not born into sin, but we're born with a history of a previous lifetime where we have done sins and we're in this world to correct that. That's not my understanding, and obviously I don't have a good understanding of what the church teaches. But I wanted to clarify that. Other things that you said are quite thought-provoking on their own. One thing I would like to say about these nouns is a noun without a verb isn't an action. So if we talk about arrows, there's no effect of an arrow without it being shot. Now,
but it does say go forth. Isn't that an action?
Yes, going forth is an action, but where does it say that?
At the end of that sentence. From here, the arrows, swords, spears, and the fire of the tower go forth.
So we have to ask, where are they going forth? And thank you for the correction, Tana. Where are they going forth? Where are they coming from?
Well, when you gave words like shofar and teshuvah, it made me think, well, this is the 10 days of awe, you know, before Yom Kippur, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and judgment isn't sealed until Hoshana Rabbah. So there's time to do the teshuvah. you know, that leaves an act of mercy to come forth by individuals doing their own personal teshuva that would stop those errors. Also, I'm thinking of the positive side, like Benjamin, who was an expert with the bow and the arrow.
Mm-hmm. But it's when we do teshuva, it doesn't make our negative action disappear.
No, but it sweetens the
judgment. It sweetens the judgment. But full teshuva transforms the negative action to a positive action. But the action doesn't disappear.
Right.
And I think that's significant in this discussion.
Okay, I know someone right now that is scheduled to have a toe removed. Okay, it's going to be a sword-like instrument that's going to cut that toe off.
Correct. And we think it's a positive to cut that toe off because it's done to heal the body. It removes one part of the body so that the overall body can be healed.
Right.
And when you, it's one of the amazing teachings about reincarnation. The doctors in the Civil War, who ended up cutting off many limbs of soldiers who had been shot with the bullets, they reincarnate to make correction for that action. And the way they make correction, they either become a soldier rather than a doctor, or they become a moil. But they're literally making the connection through some aspect of blood. Because that was the action that they did. And it's constantly being reinforced to me that the way we perceive holiness, the way we perceive human actions, the way we evaluate good and bad, has nothing to do with the upper worlds, the way they evaluate human actions. And it's a big struggle for us to make that transition. We're almost out of time. So, and we're not finished with this verse or these questions. So we'll pick that up tomorrow as well. And that I had said that yesterday when we did this verse for the first time. We're going to be looking at these questions because they are very thought provoking and very beneficial in your studies. Does anybody have a comment or a thought question that they want to say real quick? I don't mean to cut the conversation short, but it's a... Go ahead.
No, we understand. It's okay.
Thank you. So you all have a good evening. And our 7 o'clock class tonight, that's West Coast time, will be the Tikkuni Zohar. So please make the adjustment to your own time. And if you're not, if you'd like to express what your feelings were from this class, please feel free to do so. And if you would like to remain quiet, that's also okay. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you, Hannah.
Have a beautiful evening yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.